The controversy over Chief Illiniwek has been heating up of late. There was last year, at least this is what people are saying, was sort of the starting point of some of the current round of discussion on the subject. Aired on PBS a documentary called In Whose Honor, produced by Jay Rosenstein, who at that time was also a guest on this program. We have been following this issue for some time, and we seek to further the dialogue by having a variety of viewpoints and perspectives on this issue on this program to talk about it. Recently, the University Senate passed a resolution urging the University of Illinois Board of Trustees to retire Chief Illiniwek and cease the licensing of various items that use the chief logo. Also, 10 different university faculty departments, the departments of history, anthropology, School of Life Sciences, the Counseling Center, and some others have also urged the Board of Trustees to accept the recommendation of the University Senate and retire Chief Illiniwek. In the meantime, student groups have been addressing this issue, and in particular, there is a new student group that has been formed to support Chief Illiniwek and to educate and inform students about the history, tradition, and meaning of the symbol of the chief at the University of Illinois. During this hour of Focus 580, we will speak with three students who are affiliated with Students for Chief Illiniwek, and we will get their perspective on this issue, both in terms of what they hope their group can bring to the conversation on this topic and what they would like people to know about the background to it. Our guests this morning are John Maminga, Ned Swanson, and Stephanie Tonies. They are all affiliated with Students for Chief Illiniwek, and they are all students here at the University of Illinois. And we'll talk with them during this hour about the Chief Illiniwek tradition and their perspective. As we talk, we welcome you into the conversation if you'd like to join us. We ask only that people try to be brief and civil, and you can call us around Champaign-Urbana at 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you can hear us. That number is 800-222-9455. Again, around Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL, if you match the letters with the numbers. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Well, everyone, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. To start out with, let me ask, maybe I'll start with John, and you can all chime in as you wish, to discuss the formation of Students for Chief Illiniwek, where it sort of originated and why.
Sure. Basically, I'm a student on campus and a member of the Marching Illini, and this past fall, a group of students, we got together and decided that it would be appropriate to form a group that would provide a voice for students on campus that wanted to represent the chief and be pro-chief and let their voice be heard on the chief. And really the kind of the impetus behind that was that there really was no organization on campus that sole purpose was to promote and support the Chief Illiniwek tradition. The groups on campus that were supporting the chief had other activities as well, or were political in nature. We wanted a completely independent and kind of a spontaneous group that would kind of come alive and let the voices for the students who support the chief be heard.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I think one of the biggest problems that existed before Students for Chief Illiniwek came to be would be that students said many times, "What can I do to help? What can I join? Where can I go to?" And nobody had a real answer for them. There was no unified body of students in support of Chief Illiniwek. It was pretty much a scattered, small grassroots bodies supporting Chief Illiniwek, and nobody could coherently or productively help outside of a few maybe debates or discussions or passing out some pamphlets or stickers here and there. And Students for Chief Illiniwek, to me, was a real welcome addition to campus because it's clearly somewhere where students can go and support Chief Illiniwek. Mm-hmm.
And I as well saw the same thing. As an opinions columnist for the Daily Illini, I wrote a column last semester as well as this semester, and both times I got a lot of responses from pro-chief students, and they were all saying basically the same thing. In fact, this time my column ran on March 5th, and the same thing was said. I had people emailing me asking, you know, what can I do? I'm for the cause. I've just, you know, noticed that there hasn't been any real direction or organization with the pro-chief students, and you know, I was able to point them in the right direction, hopefully, with Students for Chief Illiniwek.
Well, very good. And is this sort of, I mean, obviously just March 9th was the date that the University Senate passed this resolution. And I noticed the group Students for Chief Illiniwek formed right after that. Is this kind of in response to this increasing pressure that seems to be coming from the campus?
We'd actually registered as an organization in October. We held our first official meeting was after the Senate meeting. Basically, since October when we registered, there's been a smaller group of us working kind of on deciding what kind of structure we want to see in this organization. We've also been working on putting together a very comprehensive website. Mm-hmm. That's something that we've been dedicating a lot of time to over the past several months. And basically, we figured with the controversy kind of elevating as it has recently, that this would be a good time to get students involved in our organization.
I think the alarms have really gone off in many people's minds. The past concept of dealing with the chief issue in many people's circles or groups was to just sit back and let it be, hoping that the anti-chief side would fizzle out or eventually lose interest or move on to their next crusade. That's not the case. Their movement has constantly gained momentum, while those of us who are in support of the chief have sat by idly. It's come time to come together, to get some positions on Chief Illiniwek, and to make sure that everyone's support is known, and make sure that the traditions that everybody supports can be sustained instead of taken apart by a group that ran runaway without any contest.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. The issue itself of Chief Illiniwek, the controversy over it, has, you know, really been going on for the past few years. And some people say it started with Charlene Teeters, who was a Native American student here, experienced a great deal of stress over her children experiencing Chief Illiniwek and so forth at some of the athletic events and so forth. And I think it probably goes back further than that, but be that as it may, most of the discussion of it has pretty much, from my observation, remained centered on a few, statements on the side, the part of the opponents that the chief portrays a very stereotypical view of Native Americans, that it is an inaccurate view, and that it prevents us from really understanding American Indian cultures, and also creates a hostile atmosphere here on campus for American Indians. I think that the supporters of Chief Illiniwek have maintained that it is a respectful, honorable tradition on the campus, that it seeks to honor American Indians, and that, you know, this conversation has gone back and forth without really any movement or furthering of the conversation. And I guess I want to ask you, what can you add? What would you like to add to this? This conversation? Is there a new set of ideas or information or perspective that you feel that ought to be injected into the debate?
Well, I've been involved in a conversation with people like Charlene Teeters and her, the organizations of which she's affiliated, for a couple of years now. And the biggest complaint that I hear from them is the inaccuracy and the stereotyping. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, that's something we're eager to improve. If the chief is inaccurate, which we know him to have inaccuracies in his regalia and his dance, well, let's sit down at a table and talk about it instead of unacademically swinging an axe at something and trying to knock it off the table. Secondly, we get into the stereotyping of natives by Chief Illiniwek. I think that's an argument that needs to be made up in make-believe in some people's minds to really buy into it. Chief Illiniwek is designed and intended to remember a tribe that is now passed. Chief Illiniwek is not supposed to be a reference to modern-day Native Americans. I think it's really an insult to people's intelligence when you state that a college student or even a high school student or a member of the community would believe that all Native Americans are supposed to look and act like Chief Illiniwek in authentic regalia and doing fancy dancing. That's not the case, and I think everybody knows it. As far as I'm concerned, when you get rid of Chief Illiniwek, you consign him to the dustbin of history. Most Illinoisans don't know very much about our our past, our history. The chief is a popular symbol that can stand as a gateway to that knowledge.
And as for the hostility that they claim is on the campus with regards to education, the Department of Education came out with a study done in December 1995. They spent a lot of time researching this, to see if there was hostility. And the Department of Education determined that there indeed was not any hostility on the campus. So, when people bring up that claim, well, where's this information that the Department of Education spent a lot of time, money, and energy on researching?
Okay. Right, and I have a quote from Chief Don Giles of the Peoria Tribe, who shortly after that decision came out, or actually, I think it was during the investigation of the U.S. Department of Education. Don Giles is the chief of the Peoria Tribe, which are related descendants of the Illiniwek, and he made the comment in an interview with WICD in 1995, and this is his quote: "We do not have a problem with the mascot. If there's a hostile learning environment, then the protesters are the one that are creating it themselves by protesting." End quote. And I think that's something that we've all seen on campus. That I don't know that the chief is preventing any Native Americans from getting an education or hindering their education. I think that it's this constant controversy and protesting that's being generated by the protesters that's making this an uncomfortable campus environment.
Okay, well, let me just ask one more question, and then we'll get to callers, because our lines are all full, and I want to give our audience a chance to take part in this conversation. Ned, you mentioned that you hope, or I forget exactly how you said it, that the chief should or can or does function as a gateway to knowledge on American Indian culture. Do you think that is the case? In other words, the opponents of Chief Illiniwek say that he prevents in many ways people mm-hmm. understanding American Indian culture. This concept of the gateway to knowledge, is it really functioning in that way?
I think the answer is clearly yes. From my conversations with students regarding this topic, I'll pointedly ask them, did you ever think about the history of Illinois before you came to school? Mm-hmm. And they'll usually say no. And after some more probing, I'll come to the question of, why did you ever think about it after you came here? Well, and it usually comes back to the chief. And most people attend a football game or a basketball game, see the performance, and something clicks in their head to remind them that Natives lived here before us, they've passed on, and it's important to remember them. Just to expand on that, anti-chief activists claim that they'll be acting on the behalf of Native Americans and trying to create a better environment here for them all, when I don't believe that banning the chief will result in any tangible results or benefits for any single Native American. If anything, Native Americans will be worse off, as a significantly less interest in their history and current struggles will be created.
Okay. Well, we have several callers waiting, and let's go ahead and include them in our conversation. Let me just first reintroduce our guests. We're talking with three members of the Students for Chief Illiniwek. They are John Maminga, Ned Swanson, and Stephanie Tonies, and they've been gracious enough to join us here in the studio to talk about their perspective on the Chief Illiniwek controversy. I'll give out the phone numbers again a little bit later because our lines are all full. Let's go ahead and talk with some callers. First, we have a listener on the campus on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, I have a comment and also a question for this new pro-chief group. The comment is that Native Americans don't just mind the stereotyping done by Chief Illiniwek, but also the use of sacred Native American elements in an inappropriate context, that is, in a sports event. Second, that the Peoria tribe is being very silent about their support for Chief Illiniwek. And I am involved in the organization of the Conference on the Elimination of Racist Mascots. And they have approached me because they're interested in coming to this conference. My question is that this group is depicted as a pro-Native American organization. And I find it very interesting because it dismisses the organizations that represent most Native Americans that have already stated that they're against American Indian mascots. And some of these are the American Indian Movement, the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and the Media, Cora International. I mean, there's many, many organizations. And also, this group is pitted against Charlene Teeters, who has been called the Rosa Parks of the Native Americans. How do you explain that? It'd be like being pro-African American and being against Rosa Parks. I think that's pretty weird.
Well, anybody like to comment?
Where do we start with all those questions? First of all, the Chiefs dance is not a religious or wartime. There's no religious or wartime significance in the dance. It's simply a celebratory dance, just to start out with. And I don't know if any of you guys want to comment more on the dance itself. Kind of going in with the Peoria issue there. The Peoria have come out and supported the chief in the past. In the interview in 1995, they came out in full support. Since that time, I think that they have just kind of wanted to stay away from the issue, but they have not come out and officially said anything that would contradict their initial statements of support for the chief. Also, basically taking a look at Indian mascots, it's important to point out, I think, the differences between the symbol of Chief Illiniwek and what takes place on the campus of the University of Illinois, and comparing that with some of the things that a lot of professional teams have done and where they really have exploited and degraded Native American culture, and examples being Chief Wahoo of the Cleveland Indians or the Tomahawk Chop with the Atlanta Braves. Those are things that I don't think have any relation to what goes on here with Chief Illiniwek. Those are things that our organization has come out against. We do not support caricatures and nicknames such as Redskins that would be deemed offensive. Those are things that we don't support. So on that issue, again, I think it's just important to draw a firm distinction between Chief Illiniwek and some of these other mascots.
And I wanted to add that I think it's very easy to be pro-Chief Illiniwek and pro-Native American, especially if you take the stance of wanting to improve the accuracy of Chief Illiniwek as far as his regalia, his dance goes, and if you are in support of raising awareness on Native American issues and Illinois Native history. I don't understand how you could possibly believe that you would be anti-Native American by supporting that type of agenda.
Does the caller want to follow up?
Yes, you're still against the organizations that represent most of the Native Americans in this country, namely the American Indian Movement, who is coming to town for this conference. How can you explain that, and also against Charlene Teeters, the Rosa Parks of the Native Americans?
I know. I look forward to sitting down and discussing these topics with the people coming into town, but I was sadly dismayed when I read in the Daily Illini today that no attempts were made to contact pro-chief students because dialogue can continue without them, so I don't understand that decision, but I am sad that I won't be able to discuss with them at the conference.
Well, you know, what about the issue of those Native American groups, American Indian groups, the American Indian Movement, a number of other tribal bodies, and you know, activists and non-activists, I think that you know, American Indians have come out and said they don't see the distinction between Chief Wahoo of the Cleveland Indians and Chief Illiniwek of the University of Illinois, and that they are opposed to the use of the chief. I mean, shouldn't their voices also count for something in this debate?
Sure, absolutely. I think that it is very important to get those voices and find out what that is. One of the things that our group is trying to do primarily through our website, which is, again, www.savethechief.com, is to really kind of promote what this tradition is, get the facts out there. I think that a lot of the problems are that people are not making the distinction between what's going on here and some of these other caricatures and logos at other institutions, and one of the things that we really want to try to hit hard is promoting what makes this tradition special and why is this something that is unique to the University of Illinois. But you know, again, it is important to listen to the voices that are out there, but it's also important to point out that there is Native American support. There is a lot of Native American support for the chief. We've gotten you know, I have we've seen a lot of letters and comments from the Native American community that support this tradition. So I think it's important to point out that while some of these organizations have come out against mascots in general, that number one, to draw a differentiation between those mascots, and number two, to point out that those organizations can't speak on behalf of all the Native American community.
Exactly. One of the things that I'd like to compare that to is the labor unions. There's been a lot of discussion over their funds going to the Democratic Party. So, you know, not all of that organization would support the same cause. You know what I'm saying? Even though they might vote a certain way, the majority, not all, are against it. And I think it's bad when they generalize and state that all Native Americans are against this, because that is certainly not the case.
There's markedly a lack of information and a lot of inaccuracies in the media and the research as far as organizational information goes, and on the internet regarding the Chief Illiniwek issue. For example, I found came across a website where the Chief Illiniwek issue was framed in the context of Chief Illiniwek toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
That simply doesn't exist anymore. There have been a lot of conscious changes going on campus to make the chief more respectable and to make him more modern and acceptable and representative, and that's not very well reflected in the information that a lot of these organizations are receiving.
But in fairness, I mean, there was such a thing as Chief Illiniwek toilet paper, and there were some very, shall we say, undistinguished characterizations of the chief in a variety of places, and you know, the drinking Illini, mm-hmm. and you know, all these sort of less than honorable renditions of the you know, what you would, you know, call the traditional the interpretation of Chief Illiniwek.
Right. I will not stand as an apologist to marketing, bars, or any other merchandising that disrespectfully portrays the chief. That there is no place for that, and that disturbs me and makes me sad as well, and I'm ready to go to help abolish those things. But I do not think that abolishing the chief is the first step to abolishing the image on a T-shirt or what's on the floor of a bar.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have several callers waiting, and my apologies to the first person, but I want to make sure we include as many people as we can during this hour. So we'll go next to a listener in Arcola on line number 4. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hello.
Yes.
I'd like to comment on what I think is the superficialness of this attachment to something they call a tradition. The tradition to which they're attached is a tradition of a white guy in brown face dancing to work up a crowd into a frenzy at a sporting event. That is something quite different than honoring Native American traditions. If this is an effective gateway for the students and the public to start deepening their appreciation of Indian culture, I should think that the powwow that the University of Illinois has hosted in the Armory would be much better attended. I drove there 45 miles 2 years ago with my 10-year-old son to attend this powwow, and I was shocked that the Armory was virtually empty. There couldn't have been more than 100 or 150 people there, and very few of them were of the age of undergraduate students at the University of Illinois. What was going on in the Armory was something that was authentic. There were Indian groups from Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois with drums all day long and in the evening. There was an authentic display there of Indian culture, and the students at the University of Illinois couldn't have cared less. I think if they attest of their sincerity in saying that the chief is a way of introducing people to Indian culture, is let's separate the chief from athletic events. Rather than having him attached to football games and basketball games, let's announce that once a month at 3 o'clock they can go to the assembly hall and see the chief do his thing. If the public is so attached to the chief, they'll turn up, even without a football game or basketball game. That might also be an opportunity then to supplement the chief's activities with activities of real Indians. But if they're not willing to uncouple the chief from sporting events, I think it's evidence of the lack of sincerity. And what they're really attached to is this image of a white guy in brown face. They're not at all attached to Indian culture.
Well, I believe there's some credence to what you say about attendance at an event like a powwow there is a definite link between the way the university itself approaches Chief Illiniwek and the attitude of students on campus to Native American issues. Until this university starts offering accurate information that engages students' interests outside of just the dance and the ceremony that Chief Illiniwek does, we will not see more attendance there. However, I don't believe at the same time that removing Chief Illiniwek from athletic events will help spur attendance at powwows.
I think that for a lot of people that attend athletic events and see the chief perform, this is really the only exposure that they have to any sort of Native American culture. And one of the things that our organization is seeking to do is really, as we've talked a lot about, as Chief Illiniwek as a gateway to discovering and learning more about the culture, is to really start working on building that bridge. And our organization would really like to start promoting some of these Native American activities on campus. I know that the powwow that you referred to, I think that was actually the first powwow that happened on campus, and we'd really like to, you know, to try to help grow that and encourage people who support the chief to go out and to really take a look at some of the true, as you said, the authentic.
Are any of you on the panel today? Did any of you on the panel today attend the powwow?
Yes, we did. Yep. Ned and I both attended it this fall, and it was very, very educational, and we had a good time. I agree with you that there was not a very good turnout, but I wonder if some of that maybe had to do with a lack of mentioning that in classrooms or hanging banners.
It was well publicized around the university. I found out about it 45 miles away from the university. I saw the university catalog. It's been running 3 years. And let me test your sincerity a little bit further. How about alternating the chief and an authentic kettle, a group? So that one game, you get a white guy in white face dancing. The next game, you have a group of authentic Indians occupy the halftime period.
That idea sounds very interesting and exciting to me.
You know what would happen? The fans would erupt in anger because what they want is a white guy in brown face. They do not want, and they would rebel at authentic Indian culture.
I disagree. I think that's real tunnel vision in looking at the way the fans regard the chief. The chief goes beyond the costume he wears and the guy who's behind it. I think a lot of people would be excited to see something different.
Let me just a quick follow-up, and apologies to the caller, but we've got full lines, and I want to make sure we include some more people before we run out of time, which happens very quickly around here. Just quick follow-up, in terms of the university's commitment to this issue of education on American Indians. There was announced last year, I believe, by the administration, a new position, an assistant dean for American Indians, much as there is for Latinos and Latinas and for African Americans and for Asian Americans. And this was greeted by many people as a sign the university was responding to the concerns of people over Chief Illiniwek, and they were serious about doing something educational. Now it turns out that position has not been filled, and it turns out that it will not be filled in the near future because funds are no longer available for it. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, actually, let me touch on that because that was what my column was regarding on March 5th.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely would like to see a Native American Studies program. I know some work has done that. Now, the anti-chief activists will tell you that there's no way that any educators would want to come to a campus with a chief, but I tend to disagree with that. And that's basically what I'm trying to get out there. The information is that we are all for the education, because it is a shame that we have all these other programs as well as women's studies, but we do not have Native American studies programs. I'd like to see that in the future. And I think more information needs to go in that direction. Instead of saying what they are against, let's all work together and try to get something that we are for, which is the Native American.
I'd also like to draw that there's a clear distinction between hiring a Native American dean and initializing a studies program.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
The Native American population on campus, I believe, stands around
75.
Somewhere between 60 and 90.
Mm-hmm.
The number isn't solidified anywhere. I don't know if a dean, which is an expensive proposition, is the best answer to dealing with the needs of Native American students. We do have a well-established Office of Minority Affairs that I understand is capable of dealing with the current needs of the students, but if the problem is awareness and understanding of Native American issues, we need a studies program not a counselor or a dean for which students can just come to for discussion or assistance.
Yeah, I would agree too. I think that it's unfortunate that that the university made the promise for a Native American dean and then backed away from that promise. And again, the merits of the dean, it's having a dean aside, I think it's unfortunate that promise was made and that the university backed out on that.
Okay. Well, let's talk with another caller. And this is you're on Focus 580.
Yes, thank you. It was interesting to hear those your guests compare the hiring of a Native American dean and say that that's an expensive proposition versus creating a Native American studies program. But I'd like to move away from that for a second. There's a lot to be said. I heard your guests talking about trying to characterize what they see the other side saying is wrong with Chief Illini. And their characterization, they keep coming back to this, that the problem is that Chief Illini is inaccurate. And certainly there are many problems with that, and that is certainly a great problem because Chief Illini is a stereotype, and I can't see any possible way that stereotypes play any sort of role in higher education whatsoever. But aside from that, that stereotyping is only one part of the problem, and I don't think that these nice young students are hearing what the real issue is. The real issue is that Native American people do not want to be used in halftime, regardless of whether it is accurate or not. The record on this is very, very clear. It's not the least bit vague. I understand that you seem to think that there is a lot of support for Native Americans supporting Chief Illini based on some anecdotal evidence from your website. I can tell you that every single major national Indian organization is against this. It's very clear. The National Congress of American Indians, which represents virtually all the tribal governments of Native Americans, have come out unanimously against this. There's nothing vague about it at all. So I'm wondering why it is that these young students can't seem to hear that Indian people don't want you to do this.
Well, I hear their call and I understand their sentiments, but I at the same time understand that Chief Illini is something different than the Redskins, than the Kansas City Chiefs or the like. Chief Illini is something of a tribe that has passed, a tribe that was extinguished by intertribal bloody warfare, and is a people that were honorable, that lived off the land, that were resourceful and intelligent, and stand as a pillar of the state in which we live. He is not just the man who dances around in the field. I think there is an important lesson inside of Chief Illini.
Do you understand how you just contradicted yourself? And I'm sorry to interrupt you. You talked about how important Chief Illini is as a gateway of knowledge to teach you about Native Americans, and then you turn around and say that the Illini are past, they're dead, they're extinguished. Yet you know, for instance, that the Peoria tribe still exists, and those are some, not all, some of the ancestors of the Illini tribe. So clearly, it seems to me you're not even learning the lessons that you say you're learning.
Well, I don't want to get in an argument about lineage and genealogy. I do know that there are no known living descendants of the Illini people, and that the chief remembers something that's past.
Well, let me just offer a quick follow-up question because, you know, and I'm sorry to call, again, apologize to the last caller. Our lines are all full, and I want to include as many people as we can during this hour. You know, whether or not there are living descendants of the Illini tribe and whether or not, you know, the question of extinction can even be answered, it's been stated by various participants in this discussion that, well, the Illini were eliminated by other tribes. It was like, you know, they were warlike people and that they were essentially annihilated. And there might be a few left, but that's, you know, essentially the history of it. But there, you know, other people would point out that that's not the total picture because, for example, a lot of the intertribal warfare and the pressures that caused various people to fight amongst each other were caused by European settlers going in and essentially forcing out other tribes from, you know, from the east and pushing everyone back toward the Great Plains, and, you know, disease and all kinds of all kinds of pressures were going on that contributed to this. And in fact, the word genocide isn't probably too strong to a word to use in the situation. So, I mean, there's a larger historical framework in which this other story is occurring. I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. I mean, isn't that also important in discussing these issues?
Oh, well, the framework of history is important to recognize, and I'm a large advocate of accuracy in history. I don't believe that the way that Native Americans perished in this country, which is a terrible thing, is something to be a reason why we shouldn't have Chief Illiniwek. And in fact, I would think it'd be more of a reason why we should have him, because we have so little remembrances of the people who were before us. We have not many statue, not many a museum, or even books remembering these people. It'd be really sad to see all of that history, good and bad, fall by the wayside because groups are opposed to the cowboy and Indian stereotype, or the dancing Indian, and the like.
Anyone else want to venture a response?
I would just say that the performance of Chief Illiniwek at halftime is not in itself meant to be a history lesson, or meant to be an exact portrayal of the Illiniwek people. It's meant to serve as a remembrance of the people that were here before us, and it's meant to hopefully inspire people to discover a little bit more about the Native American culture, both in the past with the history of the Illinois people, and in modern day Native American culture as well.
Okay, well, let's talk with some more callers. We have a listener waiting on line number 3 in St. Joe. Let's talk with them. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. I'd like to sort of broaden the conversation a little bit, because I think that this chief debate has gotten to be way too specific. And let me first say that I'm totally ambivalent about the chief. And I am a University of Illinois graduate, but I'm not a native Illinoisan. And let me also say that when I was a student, as an undergraduate student, I visited many, many reservations, Indian reservations in the South, and found out how the Indians really do live today. And I think that it's a little bit too romanticized. But the main comment that I want the students to address is this. If you think about the University of Notre Dame, and their mascot's name is the Fighting Irish, if you think about it, that's very derogatory. And another point on that matter, and there's many other examples of this in colleges, the Idaho Vandals, where does the word vandal come from? They were people in the Middle Ages that, were warlike and pillaged the Eastern Europeans. Another thing, getting back to the Irish, if you read some of Thomas Sowell's books, he's a person who is an African American who writes about the politics of race and economics. And he states himself that the Irish, especially treated by the English, were treated worse than slaves. That's why they immigrated here. And they were treated very, very poorly, not even 100 years ago, and discriminated against as much as any people in this country. And that's sort of the theme that bothers me about this whole debate, is people who feel very strongly about it get into all of these very, very specific issues, but really, I think it should be looked at in a much broader sense, because I think it really shows a lack of understanding of how people in the whole world treat other people and how things are perceived. I just like your comments, and I'll just hang up. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, again, I don't know that... I want to get into a whole discussion about what Notre Dame does with the Irish, but I think that, as a caller pointed out, there are a lot of other schools that use, I think someone said to me one time that there were 66 schools or something like that use some form of people in some way or another, and I think some schools do it in a way that's appropriate and that is a way of drawing on the heritage of that state or that area, and I think other schools do it in a way that is degrading and insensitive.
Okay. Well, let's talk with another caller then, and we'll go next to a listener on campus on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, good morning. I think the people who are presenting in your studio today need to not be so inclusive in the statements that they're making. For example, one person said, the Chief Illiniwek is a tradition that everyone supports. Now, on March the 9th, it was clear that the overwhelming majority of faculty and students that are elected to the University of Illinois Senate don't support this.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that has been ever presented that this is a tradition that everyone supports.
Well,
I think some of the accuracy of the statements.
Well, in fairness, I mean, I don't think they really said that. I mean, I think it's clear.
I wrote down exactly what they
okay.
said.
It okay.
said this is a tradition that everyone supports.
Well, I take your point, but I think it's clear from the whole discussion they're aware that not everyone supports the chief.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's claiming that everyone supports this.
They should
stop
making these kinds of all-inclusive statements.
Okay.
But what I would really like to get to is. The supposed gateway to knowledge with inaccurate, historically incorrect information. I don't see how that can be reconciled. And I'd really like to ask any of the participants to say, what have you learned about American Indians from Chief Illiniwek?
Well, first let me ask you, do you consider yourself to be an academic on campus?
Do I consider myself?
Are you an academic? Are you a member of the faculty? Do you
yes, I'm a member
obsessed
of the faculty.
With academia? Mm-hmm. All right. When you have an issue in academia that is where something is wrong or inaccurate, how would you go about discussing it? Would you sit down, have a roundtable, create a committee, discuss the issue, suggest some changes, or would you just attempt to abolish the entire issue and throw it in the trash bin?
That's exactly what was done. The Equal Opportunity Committee considered this issue for months and months, and they gathered enormous amounts of information from the campus, from all over the country, and the conclusion that they came to was stated in their resolution, and it was also reiterated by the people who spoke at the meeting, by letters from the entire departments, history and anthropology. You seem to respect history. I don't understand why you're taking you're impugning the intelligence now of the history department. So what is the substantive information that you folks have to contribute? Because I haven't heard any.
Well, I think you're generalizing when you discuss the departmental opinions and the faculty opinion. The faculty senate is not the all-embodying campus voice of this issue. My true understanding of the faculty senate is it is a small group of faculty who some are very opinionated and
well, they're students too. I mean,
yeah,
there's
are students,
a university senate.
Right.
They're faculty and student
members.
There's
50 students
yeah.
and 200.
Not to attack the credibility of the senate, but I don't know that the senate decision is a clear consensus of the way that people on campus really feel. Now, certainly a department can be completely in opposition to the chief. That's fine. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to sit and argue about that.
I hope it gets to the caller's question, and I'm really sorry. We've got only like 3 minutes left, and our lines are all full. I want to include at least one more caller before we run out of time. That's a listener in Bloomington on line number four. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, I've been listening to the academic discussions, and I found it a little bit frustrating listening to undergraduates be attacked by people who've had years of study beyond the bachelor's degree, therefore much better armed in the information. I would like to point out one example, getting down to the emotionality of it in relation to young and influenceable minds. When I was about 8 years old, Illinois still had good football teams, and I watched the Chief Illiniwek dance, and I found that I was confused because my image of American Indians or Native Americans was much more negative. It was something that I had acquired by watching Western movies, things of that type. And I saw the chief dancing, and I thought, this is a positive image. I didn't use those words as a kid. I brought this up with my parents, and they explained to me that, yes, this was a good and noble person that was being represented, and I don't know exactly what the words were at this time, but it was so extremely positive that it shaped forever my attitude in a much more positive direction about American Indians and even about other minorities. And I do think that if one child can have this response, then maybe others can also have the same response. And it could well be that the Native Americans have a bargaining chip here. By keeping Chief Illiniwek, maybe they can orchestrate his performance, and maybe they can bring about some things that they actually want to accomplish. I feel that they really have a tool here if they use it in a positive direction.
I'm sorry to cut the listener off. We're almost out of time here, and I want to give the guests a chance to respond. And particularly, Ned, I wanted to see if you wanted to mention something about the Chief Illiniwek Educational Foundation.
Yeah, I just want to mention, it's great. Your experience is one that hundreds of thousands of people have had, and that's a positive thing that the chief is supposed to do. I'm involved with an organization called Chief Illiniwek Educational Foundation, which is an upstart community and alumni effort, which also draws on student support, which will be established to create a place for campus, community, and alumni people to promote and support Chief Illiniwek. Our first meeting will be April 7th at 7:30 at the Chancellor Hotel. Information forthcoming in the News Gazette and the Daily Illini. Keep your eyes open for it if you'd like to get involved.
Okay. Well, we're just really here at the point we're going to have to stop, and I'm sorry to say we couldn't include a couple of more callers who have been hanging on for some time. I will promise, though, that this is not the last word you'll hear on the show about this topic. We will continue to cover the issue and provide a number of different voices and perspectives as this issue is continuing to be debated on the campus. And let me just mention, again, our guests have been John Maminga, Ned Swanson, and Stephanie Tonies, all from the Students for Chief Illiniwek. And to all of you, thank you very much for your time and for talking.
It was a pleasure to discuss.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.